Father, that song, "You Are Holy Forever," is such an incredible reality for us. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, John to write, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." What a privilege that we can have fellowship because we are children of light. And as we are seated here this morning, because your kingdom is a kingdom of light, what a privilege that we can be in the light. We can have fellowship with you, Father. We can have fellowship with one another. But what a joy of being in your incredible light and the truth there that, Jesus, your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What a privilege to be able to be in the light, and as you share with us, to be able to experience the power of your blood that does a cleansing work that's deep within us. And we stand back and say, how great is our God. We can sing that song, "There's no other name that's greater than your name, Jesus." And we want to thank you for the privilege of really being able to be in this family of yours, loved by you, and what you have done in your death and resurrection to bring us and reconcile us to the Father. What a joy, Father, that we can experience what it is to be declared not guilty. What a privilege to be able to come boldly to your throne room and to be able to experience the power of grace, the power of mercy. And we want to thank you for what you are busy doing amongst us this morning. So again, Lord Jesus, we can declare that your kingdom, the kingdom of light, is here with us and within us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to just read a psalm that I think it's very appropriate for all of us, because this morning we're going to be looking at another aspect of the kingdom of God. But Psalm 68, I'm going to just read from verse 20 to 24 in the Passion Translation here. Our God is a mighty God who saves us over and over. For the Lord Yahweh rescues us from the ways of death many times. I looked at Robbie's t-shirt over the living proof that God is alive. But he will crush every enemy, shattering their strength. He will make heads roll for they refuse to repent of their stubborn and sinful ways. I hear the Lord saying to all the enemies of his people, you better come out of your hiding places, all of you who are doing your best to stay away from me. Don't you know there's no place to hide? That's why God is light. For my people will be conquerors, speaking about us. They will soon have you under their feet. They will crush you until there's nothing left. O God, my King, your triumphal processions keep moving onwards in holiness and moving onwards towards the holy place. And it's a very appropriate scripture to start off this morning in what God has laid on my heart to also share. We've been looking at the reality of the kingdom of God, and we've been noticing how the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing more and more of what the kingdom of God is. And he's helping us to go beyond just the power aspect of the kingdom of God, and to really help us to understand and to move and to grow into the reality of the fullness of God. If you want a definition of the kingdom of God, it's the fullness of God. So his kingdom, he's the way he rules, etc. He cannot separate his presence. You see, with his presence comes him, his fullness. That includes the power, that's his authority, that's his wisdom, that's his mercy, that's his grace, everything. And so when we're speaking about Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on here on earth. We're speaking much more than just power, demonstration of signs and wonders. We're speaking about the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit here manifesting themselves on earth as it is in heaven. And so we've got to look beyond just our current understanding of the kingdom and really allow the Holy Spirit to take us deeper and deeper into that. And so we have been looking recently of how what God has spoken about, say for instance 1947, and how to get it, how to see how it fits into the prophetic word from Genesis right through until the second coming of Jesus Christ, to see whether this is part of that prophetic word that God has spoken through the prophets, or is it just our own imagination? And so we've been looking, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to really understand when He spoke in Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 4, and those were the two scriptures that God gave when He spoke about the glory of God in 1947. And we see there that the Holy Spirit has helped us to understand that that is the word, and what He's doing in our communities and in our nation is all part of something that God prophesied many, many years ago. And so we've looked at Daniel chapter 2, and we saw there that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and it was so important because this kingdom that's going to demolish all the other kingdoms was not cut out of the rock by hand. It was a supernatural, the birth of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom is a supernatural reality by God Himself. No man brought in the kingdom of God. This is a working of God that was prophesied when He gave the promise to Adam and Eve many years back. And we looked at that in Daniel 4. Also, we had a look at some of the scriptures there. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, You'll understand why I'm sharing this. In Isaiah chapter 9, where is a prophetic word concerning Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end, and He will reign on David's throne over all His kingdoms, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So here we see again Isaiah prophesying concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom that He has brought in here onto the earth. And we see that. But notice there, it's an everlasting kingdom. It's a kingdom that grows. Because we want to ask the question, how does God's kingdom grow? How does it grow? How does it increase? And that's the question that we are going to be looking at a little bit this morning. Again, here in Daniel chapter 7, we see again, Daniel is interpreting the dream of those four beasts. And here in verse 13, we read here, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was the one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into His presence. He was," this is referring to Jesus, "He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And remember when Nebuchadnezzar had that experience of becoming like a wild beast, and Nebuchadnezzar, from this king, he acknowledged the greatness of God, that God is the everlasting, and it is His kingdom alone that is the great everlasting kingdom. And so even from a king proclaiming and prophesying and decreeing the reality of Christ is the King of Kings, not Nebuchadnezzar, because everybody thought he was the King of Kings kind of thing. And so we see this throughout Scripture, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, the kingdom of God has been prophesied, and Jesus comes, and we see how he then begins to bring in the reality of the kingdom. Now, what's also important in all of this is that many times we or maybe looking at South Africa and we just see darkness and we say, but I don't see the evidence of this kingdom of God in South Africa. All I see is the evidence of wickedness and evil. That's all I can see. And so many believers are not able to, what can I say, to be established in a word that God has prophesied and decreed is our true reality. And so many times we get distracted, and just the other day someone was saying, you know, it's just like evil seems to be prospering, I don't see God at work, etc., etc. And that's the language of many believers. We can understand that with a non-Christian. When they hear, oh, God's kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom, it's easy to be able to say, as a non-Christian, oh, I don't see that. But as a believer, we need to ask the question, why do we not see this incredible truth of God's incredible kingdom a reality in South Africa? So how does his kingdom grow? It's what we're wanting to get understanding this morning. How do we see this kingdom, this everlasting kingdom, the name above every other name, how do we see that truth becoming our reality? And so we notice some incredible truths that we have. The very first time, let's just go back, or let me go to Hebrews 11 first of all. Hebrews 1. Verse 1 and 2. Here we see there that God has prophesied through the prophets from the very beginning. We'll see there in Genesis chapter 1. Already there the kingdom mandate was laid out over there. But in Hebrews chapter 1 we see here, in the past days God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times. So the announcement of God's kingdom, God spoke through the prophets many, many times. There's many, many scriptures that you read in the Old Testament about the coming kingdom of God. But listen here. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. He is the King of Kings, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the fullness of God's glory, who God is, the exact representation of his being. Now this word, he is sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided a done deal, justification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he had inherited is superior to theirs. So here we may look and say, but God, we don't see the evidence of your kingdom here. We just see wickedness, we see darkness, we see sin, you name it. We look at the world, where is this truth a reality? But Jesus, God has spoken through his Son Jesus, and that word sustaining, Jesus sustains everything by his word, his powerful word. That word sustain is to carry it through to completion. To carry it through to its destined purpose. So here we see the word was prophesied to Adam and Eve about the seed, about a child. And here we see right from the beginning throughout the Old Testament the word of God being prophesied. Jesus comes, he is the king. And he is the one that carries that everlasting prophecy to its fulfillment. And if we have faith, and if we believe what God has spoken, and we've got confidence in Jesus and his great ability to complete, to bring to fulfillment, to carry it through to its complete, the greatest manifestation of how God intended it to be, this is when we start to see the reality. Because by faith we have accepted a truth, and now we're walking in faith. We will begin to think differently, speak differently, and therefore we're able to see the kingdom and enter the kingdom in a way that we have not yet really experienced at all. And so we must take note that our foundation is rooted in Jesus Christ, who he is, and his ability to carry this all through. That's our rock. So no matter what we see, God is stirring within us a faith to be able to, okay, we recognize evil, but God is stirring within us a reality of a kingdom that's within us, and he wants to rule, he wants to manifest his fullness, not only in us, but through us, to be able to see the kingdom of God advancing. So if you have a look at where this kingdom begins within us. Now, let's just go on in Genesis chapter 1, for instance. Let's just quickly go there. Because God, our Father wants us to recognize. He wants us to experience and to know the reality of his kingdom within us, first of all. He wants us to know the life of the kingdom, the atmosphere of his kingdom. And therefore, last Sunday, remember the prayer that we looked at in Ephesians 3, 14 onwards, where Paul prays, Father, by your Holy Spirit, strengthen the inner man. See, that's an important prayer to be able to begin to grasp. Because then the second part of that prayer, strengthen the inner man, let Christ dwell in their hearts. And then, for that purpose to be strengthened, and for the reality of Christ dwelling in the hearts, so that then we are able to grasp this incredible love of God that's far beyond knowledge, that we may be filled to the fullness of God. Kingdom. The reality of God's kingdom within us. The fullness of God within us. So the Holy Spirit is helping us to be strengthened in our inner man. And we'll understand that as we carry on, what that strengthening is all about. But also for the awareness and living in the reality of Christ within us, who he is. He's not just a little bit about Jesus, but the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's an important foundation to begin to understand the incredible working of his kingdom in us, that starting point. So in Genesis chapter 1, we see how God creates all of creation. And remember when he says, let us make man, let us create man in our own image. And so then in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and all the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So straight away we see that because you and I are made in the image of God, it has always been God's will that God rules earth through man. So God's kingdom reality to be released, made known through mankind. That's always been his way of doing things. So he has man in his image so that we in his image is able to rule and reign and to manifest and demonstrate the way God does things, who He is, His presence, etc. There was no sin in Adam and Eve at that time. Creation, imagine what creation would look like. There was no sin, there was no decay. Take it all. Imagine the atmosphere in the garden. Imagine the atmosphere in creation. Imagine the life before sin came. So we're starting to get a glimpse of the reality of God's kingdom. Now, we know to say that Adam and Eve sinned. And at that very moment when that came through, we know to say that no longer could God really rule through mankind, because now sin came up. And who was ruling? Sin began to rule mankind. Before, God was ruling through mankind. Now, after the fall, sin is ruling through mankind. And we have a look at history. What do we see? Sin ruling. The power of sin and death reigns over all of mankind. Okay. But God never changed His plan to rule and to manifest His kingdom through man. Therefore, Jesus Christ comes as a man. No sin. Jesus Christ once again allows God to be able to rule through man here on earth. And this is the reality of Jesus Christ. That's why, what did the angel say to Mary? You are to name Him Jesus, to save His people from their sin. And you will call Him Emmanuel, God with us. Kingdom. Word to describe the kingdom of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Kingdom. And Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Father and I are going to come make our dwelling within you. So now we begin to understand that when Jesus is speaking and He's answering the disciples, the Pharisees, when they ask them, listen, when are we going to see this kingdom of God? And that's when Jesus says, listen guys, you will not be able to perceive and see the kingdom of God by observing your religious duties and your laws, etc. And that, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to perceive it in that. You're not going to be able to understand and enter in it by these religious activities. Because the kingdom of God is within. And He speaks to them because it's such a profound truth for you and I to begin to renew our mind and say to ourselves and to recognize, but God, Your kingdom is within us. God, it's Your will. You have created us. So we go back to, it's no longer I who live. That I, remember, is an I before we got born again. That I, sin ruled. That I, sin was ruling my life. Sin was ruling the environment. Sin was ruling the atmosphere. Sin is ruling. And that's why there's decay, there's pollution, there's all these things taking place, etc., etc. That I is the I that died with Jesus Christ. Who's the new I? The I that lives now is this new creation man where the kingdom of God is within us. That is why Paul says the life I now live, I no longer live, it's Christ living in me. Christ the King is now able to manifest the kingdom of God through the born-again believer in Christ Jesus. So a starting point on how does the kingdom of God grow is to recognize now who I was is dead. Where sin ruled in my life, now Christ the King is in me, and now God is able to once again manifest His kingdom through my life. But that's not so easy for many believers. Not even talking about the unsaved. It's impossible. On Friday morning, just time in the Word of God and in prayer. I was saying, I was coming out of a real Holy Spirit boxing match. And I found myself experiencing the real struggle of a believer that is not yet understood and received by faith that they have died with Christ. And God was speaking and working in the life to be able to surrender. And I entered into that struggle of surrender. And I realized there is no ways that a believer that has not received a truth or having died with Christ, there is no ways. It's impossible to be able to surrender and say, yes, Lord, rule through my life. That battle of self is extremely powerful. That self will justify. That self will make excuses. It will do everything to hide away from the Holy Spirit saying, surrender all. That self is extremely, extremely powerful. It resists. It resists. It rebels against surrendering fully to Jesus Christ. This is believers. The unsaved, there's no interest. The unsaved is totally caught in self. Sin is ruling powerfully, powerfully, powerfully in the unsaved lives. The fruit, the manifestation is all the evidence of sin ruling in the unsaved. You and I were there. But as a believer, if we have not by faith accepted a simple truth that we've died with Christ, and by faith, Lord, you put to death that old self man, we will not be able to experience the victory of that truth. Faith is crucial for you and I to be fully persuaded that what God has done in His Son Jesus, for us to be set free from the power of sin. And then I began to realize, because I'm busy, Lord, show us the power, show us the reality of your kingdom. And then when I was entering in and I experiencing that incredible struggle there's no ways that a believer that has not received and identified that truth, there's no ways a believer is going to surrender to God. It will only go so far, no further. But then I realized the power of God's grace. Because I realized this grace of God is more powerful than that battle. And this is why it's so crucial to be able to receive the gift of righteousness. It's a grace gift. It's so crucial by faith to receive what Christ Jesus has done, because we enter into the reality of grace in which we now stand. And it's in this powerful reality of God's grace that this incredible power of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus, becomes real. And that's the only way you and I are able to surrender and to have a heart after God. There's no other way. Because then we're bypassing the incredible powerful working of the power of God's grace, His ability helping us to be able to live in the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. And that is why it's so crucial when in Hebrews 4, when the Word of God is alive and it's active and it's powerful, and the Word of God begins to reveal and penetrate and show the things inside of our heart that's still not light but still dark, He then says, go to the throne of grace. Because you will not be able to deal with that in your own. You need to experience the power of grace that is more powerful than that issue. And to be able to receive it by faith. So the starting point of you and I beginning to experience this kingdom of God and how it's going to grow is first of all for you and I to be able to know the reality that sin is no longer ruling our life. Yes, I have a choice, but now there's a grace that's more powerful. There's a king and the reality of the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom, the fullness of God's grace. It's not a little bit of grace that's going to help. It's God's grace. It's so powerful. Before we got born again, it was impossible for you and I to even believe and to go and to receive Jesus. We were so dead in our sin, so captured by sin, enslaved to sin. But it was the grace of God, the power of that grace that enabled us to get free. And so we need to begin to understand, wow, God, this grace is more powerful than the wicked that we see. This grace of yours is more powerful than the things that I'm struggling with inside. Far more powerful. And so we're beginning to get a faith. The Holy Spirit's working within us to be able to come and say, God, I'm struggling in this area, but you're showing me that this grace of yours is more powerful than that struggle. And I don't want to deny and remove myself from the benefits of being in Christ Jesus. I don't want to remove myself and trying in my own strength to try and deal with the stuff. I'm rather going to come right now and begin to receive this powerful grace that comes through Jesus Christ and the truth that comes through Jesus Christ. And I want to begin to experience that, and I receive this grace and this mercy to help us in my time of need. So what's happening when we do this? Because one of the things that's so important in understanding what God is saying in Isaiah chapter 4, one of the key things about that prophetic word about His glory, He mentions over there that the people will be called holy people. The kingdom is a holy kingdom. And so we start to see that in this incredible reality of God who is light, we've got to understand that this kingdom within us is light, and we have entered into a kingdom of light. And so you can understand now what the Holy Spirit is highlighting and emphasizing what we will speak about is holiness. Because He has taken us out of the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves through the blood of Jesus. And so that is why when Jesus prayed, and He prayed this incredible prayer in John chapter 17, and He says, Father, sanctify them with your truth. God has not changed His way of sanctification, of making us holy. He still shares truth, because what truth sets free? And so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will still come, and He will still begin to share with you and our things in our lives, whether it's things for us to grow or instructions, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit will give us a truth. And as we take hold of that truth, what takes place? We are being transformed by the renewal of our mind, and we're becoming more like Christ Jesus. We are being conformed. No longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed into the very image, the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ from glory to glory. And so the Holy Spirit will still bring truth, but what takes place now in this truth when we start to recognize, but God, let's look at this in Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2. He's speaking to believers, not just to the Hebrew believers. He's speaking to Gentiles as well. Peter is pastoring the body of Christ in Rome. And he's speaking to Jews and to Gentiles. Because some folks just say, no, this is only relevant for the Jewish nation. No, it's for believers in Christ Jesus. And he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Revelation chapter 5. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them, you have made them, you have made them. This is what Jesus has done. He has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and we will reign on the earth. And again, the Greek tense is not we will one day reign, it's a present tense, now reality. So, we cannot remove that. God has made us, our Lord Jesus has made us, holy priesthood, a kingdom and priests. And he is the one that sustains us by his powerful word. And Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them with your word. So Jesus continues to speak to us by the Holy Spirit, his word, because he is the one that is carrying this through to its ultimate completion, fulfillment in our lives. Now when we have taken hold of the fact in Romans chapter 6 that we are now in the place where we've yielded to Jesus and we have received the gift of righteousness, what does Romans 5:23 say? That now grace reigns through righteousness. By simple faith, we have received the righteousness of Jesus. We have received his perfection as a gift from God. It's now become ours. We've entered into that. And because we simply received by faith, that's all, this incredible faith that God has given to you and I, now this grace reigns. But Romans chapter 6 carries on. And it speaks about that now that this grace reigns through this gift of righteousness, because now you're experiencing the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus. You're now experiencing the reality of the kingdom of God within you. You're experiencing now sin does no longer rule over your life, because the kingdom of God is now ruling within you. So now we are free. What takes place? Romans 6 carries on. And it's profound, because then he says now, we used to be slaves to sin, which led to death. But now because we've received the gift of righteousness and grace reigns, we are now slaves to righteousness, which leads to holiness. That's the working of God. Without, by faith, accepting what Christ has done, as God took me into that encounter, there's no ways that believers will be able to surrender and to become holy without a legalistic holiness. Because this holiness is dealing with the reality of being children of light as God is light. It's not outside stuff. This is a God is light, and we have fellowship with him. And this holiness, as a result of the gift of righteousness and the grace that reigns through this gift of righteousness, enables you and I to be able to experience more and more and more and more the joy, the freedom of living in light. That's a good place to be. So God's kingdom begins within us to experiencing this truth as a reality. And as this becomes more of our reality, it's no longer I who live. That old man with sin ruled is dead. Now the new I is this I that's in you, Jesus. This I that has received this incredible gift from God as a free gift of your righteousness. And you have credited that righteousness to me and has now become my righteousness with you, Lord. And I want to thank you because of this righteousness. Father, you have declared me not guilty. I've been justified. Because of this incredible faith that you gave to us as a gift, I'm fully persuaded that this is my reality. And as a result of this, oh Father, we've entered into this incredible realm of grace in which we now stand. And in this realm of grace, this is where this kingdom life is a reality. It's real. Truth, never allow truth just to be information. Truth must be real. So when we're reading about the kingdom of God within, it mustn't just be information. See, truth is alive. He is the truth. He is the way. And so when he speaks about these things and we start to receive these truths that God is saying, the reality that Paul prayed for by the Spirit to strengthen the inner man and also so that Christ may dwell within the believer, that becomes a reality with us, not information. Eternal life is to know. It's a reality. It's a relationship with the living God. Eternal life is knowing the reality of the manifestation, the atmosphere, the depth and the width and the height and the length of this incredible kingdom of God, this love of God, the holiness of God, the freedom that is in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all this truth step by step as we just follow Him, keeping step with the Holy Spirit. So as we conclude, the blood of Jesus is so powerful. And so as the Holy Spirit shares with us, and as we've been speaking on Wednesday night and last Sunday, that whenever the Holy Spirit shares with us these things, have a heart that has a desire to want to be holy. Have a heart that says, God, you light, and I want to have fellowship with you. And any darkness in me, that must go, because I want to have fellowship with you and with the body of Christ. That's a desire, that's a deep hunger and a willingness to be able to embrace when the Holy Spirit starts to share things so that I can renew my mind to the truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing. Because again, Jesus prayed, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy by the truth, by the word. So repentance is truth by the Spirit of God sharing with us. We now accept that truth. We change the way we think. We change the way we live. And as we continually do that, we get to the place as we shared, as we watched some of James's teaching, where we then come and we say, but now God, judge me in these areas. I was just sharing, and this might be helpful for some, because when we see the wickedness of the world and we say, where's the kingdom of God? We could just be like some of the disciples who said to Jesus, should we be caught on fire? And Jesus says, hey, you've got not the same spirit that I've got. And so during the week, I can't remember it. God took me to a prayer, prophetic prayer counter that someone had shared some time back. And there, it's about the kingdom of God, etc. And there was a time when all the darkness and all that there, and God said, enough. And He shouted, enough. And I knew today is a day that I must join the Father to say this. And I'm key. I want to do it now. But I'm saying, Lord, are you giving me permission to do it now? Silence. It's not saying anything. Lord, I want to do it now. You know, I want to do it, you know. I want to join you in this. But I don't want to do it on my own. I want to do it together with my Father. You see, remember, we're working with our Father. Jesus only did what his Father did, through his Father working through him. The kingdom of God within Jesus working, the Father working through him. And so now I begin to pray and I said, Holy Spirit, I need your anointing over here because I need you to guide me in this. I've got the desire, but I'm not connecting with the Father in this yet. And so I'm busy there just speaking to God, praying and just time with him. And then the Holy Spirit started to work in me. And he started to take me into the Father's love of why the Father is saying, enough. See, if I had not by the Spirit gone into the Father's love, I would have spoken in the flesh. That's not kingdom. That's flesh. That's I who live. That's my desire. So I had to wait until the Holy Spirit took me to the place where it's no longer I really, but now it's Christ living in me. And only once that revelation and that identification came of the Father's incredible love and why he's saying enough, could I then partner with the Father, and together with the Father could then make that command. Not before that. And that's why the starting point all the time is the things that we see. Why this is not there? Your starting point, but Father, first begin within me. Why is it happening? Judge me first. Because just maybe I don't have faith in your ability to sustain all things. Maybe because I'm not prepared to surrender. Maybe because there's stuff in my own life that needs to be exposed. And I need to repent on that area. And when we connect to the Father's heartbeat, when we connect to the reality that the depth and the length and the height and the width of the love of Christ for all mankind, then we can begin to minister from a position of love. Then we are seated on the throne of love to be able to rule with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure that we are seated first of all on that throne of love before we can begin to really see the kingdom of God advance. Not to be seated on the throne of fear and so be praying like that because of a fear or discomfort. But no, only when we are connecting to the heartbeat of our Father, then that's the position for prayer. That's the reality of the kingdom of God. This is how it all works. God so loved the world that he sent his Son Jesus. Everything about our Lord Jesus is the depth and the width and the height of his love for mankind. The Father expressing his love, his rule, his reign, his kingdom, his ability, all that through Jesus because he loves. So may, as Paul prayed, may God himself draw us deeper and deeper into the love of God. May we grow into that by the Holy Spirit. Anything that irritates you and I, stop and ask the question, why, Lord, start to judge me. Why am I getting irritated? Why am I responding like I want to respond? Ask the Holy Spirit to expose. Ask God to judge us with his word. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses and purifies. We are a holy priesthood. We are a holy kingdom. So if you, like me, enjoy the boxing matches with God. You come out of it bruised, but freedom, freedom, freedom. And we just move to a higher level with God, a higher place with him in what he wants to do here on earth. Can you imagine the consequences of you and I who have listened to God? Last year, Easter, where God said, pray for the believers in South Africa. And as we've been going through John 17, one of the prayers of Jesus is, set them apart. As I've set myself apart so that they can be set apart. Because we're now participating in Christ's holiness. We're able to live in that reality of His holiness by the Holy Spirit. So embrace the gift of righteousness. Embrace that God's grace is more powerful than the issue that you and I are facing. Find the freedom. Then you know God's kingdom is real. Victory. Remember, we still have choices. We can still choose. But now, because we've got the desire, I want to be holy. I want to live a repentant life. I want you to judge me, God, so that your name is glorified. Amen. Yeah. Father, thank you again for sharing with us and helping us. But today, the power of your grace is such a reality for us. We don't have to go and battle and struggle and try in our own abilities to try and change us. Lord, we don't want to bypass the gift of righteousness. And so we want to thank you, Jesus, as we celebrate your death and resurrection, how you've given us a gift, your righteousness, so that we can be holy, that we can be set free from being slaves to sin. And we want to thank you for the joy of being in you, Jesus, and experiencing this abundant life that so powerfully works within us. So we break the bread with you, Lord, celebrating your sacrifice. We drink the blood, celebrating that powerful blood that cleanses us, has made the atonement for our sins. We celebrate you, Jesus, in you being the King of Kings. And what a joy that you, again, by the Holy Spirit, rules through us as a family, your body, so that the Father's kingdom, your kingdom, can increase here on earth as it is in heaven. So Father in heaven, today, hallowed be your name. Manifest the reality of your incredible holiness through our lives as your family, through the powerful blood of Jesus that cleanses and purifies us from all sin. Father, your kingdom come. Your will be done here in South Africa as it is in heaven. We thank you that we are your kingdom of priests, where we can allow yieldedness because of staying in your grace, for you, Father, to be able to rule, to be able to manifest your fullness through us as the family of God in this nation. So we want to thank you for a revelation of your kingdom, a revelation of what it is to be in Jesus. We want to thank you that religious kind of holiness has been smashed and broken and revealed, and we enter into you, the Holy One, and experience the freedom and the life and the joy of fellowship with you. Lord, any form of holiness that denies fellowship with you is false. And we ask that you will expose that, reveal that. So this holiness is all about fellowship with you, being in the light and having fellowship in the light. So we want to thank you as your Spirit reveals this and helps the family, your family, to be really begin to experience a greater depth of your kingdom. And so we can say over you, South Africa, Jesus sustains all things with his powerful word. And he sustains his kingdom. He sustains the growth, the power, the dominion, the reality, the fullness of his kingdom here in South Africa. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.